It's said that we have become desensitized to violence, given the frequency that we, well, willingly watch it. Take films, for example. Scenes which not too long ago would have gained the film an R rating now slip through as either PG or PG-13. Shootings, fights, stabbings. But strangely enough, not abortions. That apparently still gets an R rating, as proven by what happened to the film my next guest is here to preview. Tells the story of her time as a clinic director with Planned Parenthood, who on one particular day experienced an awakening and became a pro-life advocate, as well as founder of the And Then There Were None Ministry. The film is Unplanned. That's the title of the film, which will be released on March 29th. And to preview it and tell the backstory about it, we say hello to Abby Johnson. How are you today, Abby?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you being here. Three websites. We have them over our page as links too, but just for your ears at the present time, unplannedfilm.com, abbyjohnson.com, and abortionworker.com. So give us a backstory, Abby. You were a clinic director at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Texas. And what were the day-to-day activities? How, you know, take us inside a clinic. How exposed to the various processes and interaction with people and patients does a clinic director have typically?
Yeah, I was pretty involved with patients. I did a lot of patient education. I did a lot of education in the community. Not education that I would support now,
right.
Of course, but was pretty active in the community. I worked with a lot of our donors. I was in charge of all of our personnel, so hiring, firing, making sure that budgets were being met, and just sort of the day-to-day operations of a clinic. But, I mean, really, my favorite thing about my job was interacting with patients, because I really did believe that, you know, we were there to care for them and to help them.
So talk about that day, September 26, 2009, because as you just pointed out, you had a typical process and the list of things to do on a day-to-day basis. But on September 26, 2009, what happened?
I was asked to come in and assist with an ultrasound-guided abortion procedure, and my job was to hold the ultrasound on the woman's abdomen so the doctor would be able to see the baby during the abortion procedure itself. And I watched really just in shock and horror as I saw a 13-week-old unborn child fight and struggle for his life against the abortion instrument. And I knew then that there was life in the womb, there was humanity in the womb, that I had just witnessed a grave injustice, and I knew that I had to leave, and so I decided to resign from Planned Parenthood and started speaking out and sharing my story with the world.
Was that the first time you ever were involved on the medical side of what went on in the clinic?
So I did.
I mean, to that degree.
Yeah, I mean, I had done medical things, of course, in the clinic before, but typically an abortion procedure does not use ultrasound guidance during the actual abortion. The protocol for abortion is that the doctor just blindly goes in without the use of an ultrasound. So this doctor, though, was a visiting physician, and he wanted to show us what this looked like if you used an ultrasound. And so this was the first time, to my knowledge, an ultrasound had ever been used during the actual abortion procedure.
I'd ask that question only because someone listening right now would probably ask, well, what did you think was going on in there? But I guess, you know, versus seeing it in some sort of graphic that pro-life protesters would hold up, or even in a film documentary, to see it live in the during element, in the during part of the before, during, and after, that makes a sizable difference, especially with how ingrained you were to, at least that point in time, being part of the pro-abortion side of things.
Yeah, and it wasn't, honestly, it wasn't the death of the baby that caused me to rethink what I was doing. I mean, I had seen the graphic images. I had seen, you know, the aftermath of abortion. I had seen all the blood and the gore. That wasn't what changed my mind. It was seeing the life of this baby trying to save its own life. And honestly, I mean, people were like, you know, they have asked me, like, well, what did you think was happening? And I mean, honestly, the answer is I just didn't care. I was really blind to it. I believed that the woman's rights always superseded the rights of the unborn child. And it took, and it's sort of like one of those things where it's like out of sight, out of mind. You don't see it. So it's not something that really affects you. But then when I saw it, I thought, oh my gosh, I mean, this is an injustice. And here we are saying we are for reproductive justice, yet what I just witnessed was incredibly unjust. And for this unborn baby, and the fact that his mother didn't even have the opportunity to see her child on the ultrasound to, you know, have that connection with her child before we took his life. I mean, all of that just screamed injustice to me.
We're joined with Abby Johnson, who was at one time a Planned Parenthood clinic worker, and she actually headed a director of the Planned Parenthood clinic in Texas and became a pro-life advocate, also founder of the And Then There Were None ministry. Her story is the film Unplanned, which will be released on March 29th, which is also the name of Abby's book. You can find out more at unplannedfilm.com, abbyjohnson.com, and abortionworker.com. We have those links over to our page as well. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So when someone leaves Planned Parenthood, no matter at what level, how well is that taken by the organization?
Well, apparently not well.
I can imagine.
When I left the clinic, they actually took me to court. They were trying to get a permanent gag order against me so that I wouldn't be able to share what I had seen and what I knew about the organization. That obviously failed for them, but I think it was really more, they were really trying to set an example. They were trying to make an example of me to other clinic workers that, you know, if you leave and you, you know, sort of defect from our organization, then this could be you.
We can make it
in a courtroom.
Yeah, we can either make it very uncomfortable and or very expensive for you because lawyers don't come cheap.
Exactly.
What, you know, you were trying to think, I mean, was it when you become an employee of Planned Parenthood or when you attain a certain position like clinic director, going into that role, is there any documents, confidentiality agreement you have to sign at that point? Because it sounds like they were coming at you with a confidentiality agreement just a little bit too late.
Yeah. I did not sign anything like that. But I am told that they are making people sign them now. So, I think after all this happened with me, they're like, okay, wait a minute, we need to fix this now and make sure that this doesn't happen again.
What is the biggest myth in the pitch that Planned Parenthood gives? Because I guess you use the term reproductive health. Now the phrase now is women's health programs. But when you look at the number of abortions and the amount of taxpayer money spent just on that element of Planned Parenthood, it doesn't seem like health is part of the really priority. It sounds more like death in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's been this lie that's been perpetuated by Planned Parenthood and the liberal media that Planned Parenthood is there to provide preventative health services for women and even men, and that's their primary focus. But even in the past, I would say 2 years, they have admitted themselves that abortion is their primary focus moving forward. Cecile Richards, their former president, said about a year and a half ago that providing pap smears to women is as important as providing an abortion at their facilities. Dr. Leanna Wynn, their current president, said that abortion is their focus of their health, is the focus of their healthcare services. So we're starting to see this facade that they've built up over the years crumble, because you cannot deny the numbers that they're putting out. I mean, 332,000 abortions a year, and their abortion numbers continue to go up while their preventative health care services, those numbers continue to decrease.
Yeah, it's amazing how abortions are something they do the most of, but with breast cancer being one of the major killers of women across the country, cancer screenings are one of the things they do least.
Right, exactly. And those numbers, every single year we look at their reports, the numbers are just abysmal. They just continue to fall year after year.
Well, we recently saw the story of abortionist Kermit Gosnell come out in a movie that became a greater hit than most people on the left and certainly in the news media and certainly in Planned Parenthood wanted it to ever be. The Video Sale followed suit as well. And I have the belief, given the fact that the trailer for the film of Abby's story, Unplanned, the trailer was a huge, high number of views, and that'll hopefully be indicative of what the movie attendance is going to be when Unplanned opens on March 29th. It's the story that Abby has told in her book, which you can find on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and elsewhere. You can also go to unplannedfilm.com, abbyjohnson.com, abortionworker.com. I mentioned back in the introduction that it's getting an R rating because of the three scenes featuring abortions. So when you think about it, a 15-year-old girl on her own cannot go see Unplanned, but she can go get an abortion. That doesn't really sound too logical, does it? So hopefully that's one of the issues and one of the thought trains and paths that Unplanned is going to create about the imbalance that we're creating between what we say and what we do when it comes to the sanctity of life. Again, it's unplannedfilm.com, abbyjohnson.com, abortionworker.com. Abby Johnson, I do believe this film is going to be a monumental success in a variety of ways, both as a venue for learning, discussion, and I think a lot of minds being changed. Thank you for sharing your story, both in the book and now this film. Thanks for being here today.
Of course. Thank you so much.